You are listening to Talking Star Wars.
Hello, Star Wars fans. I'm Alex.
And I'm Connor. Welcome back to Talking Star Wars. We're in the start of our second season, and we're going to move a little transition from our episode on Thrawn and take a little peek at two of the, I wouldn't say servants that he has, but I would say two of the figures that are under his employ, and that is that of Baylan Skoll and his apprentice as Dark Jedi, and just kind of take a look at that term in general and some of the new concepts that Ahsoka's TV series has introduced into the franchise.
Yeah, so for those who have listened to our previous episodes, you know that we did a survey of other Force traditions that were present throughout the galaxy. Yeah, so if you'd listen to episode 5 about Force traditions about the Sith and the dark side, and episode 6, Force traditions that were not the Jedi and not the Sith, we did touch on briefly in those episodes the concept of the Dark Jedi. But as we have recently, as Connor said, seen two more examples of Dark Jedi in mainstream media, and also seen that expansion in other games like Jedi Survivor, we wanted to highlight all of the Dark Jedi that we currently see in canon and contrast them. What makes someone a Dark Jedi rather than a Sith? I know some people like the term Gray Jedi. Connor, I don't really use that term ourselves. But for example, Ahsoka leaves the Jedi Order, but is certainly not a Dark Jedi. Pong Krell stays in the Jedi Order until his death, but is certainly a Dark Jedi by the end. So we will establish what we see as a Dark Jedi and then analyze the characters that we say fall under that umbrella.
Yeah, it seems like that term like really started to be thrown around lately with Baylan Skoll, where he says that they are certainly not Jedi, where he was a former Jedi, but he hasn't taken the title of Sith. It's kind of like Kylo Ren. Kylo Ren is not a Sith. He's a Knight of Ren. But I will argue that he is a student of Palpatine / Snoke, who, you know, Palpatine is a Sith. So it's still kind of in that tradition of master, apprentice, darkness, same sort of ideology. A Dark Jedi still seems to follow, I would say, the more honorable code of the Jedi, but there seems to be a greater violence and a lack of concern towards a bodily injury. What other distinctions do you see in a standard Jedi versus Dark Jedi versus Sith?
So I would say that a Dark Jedi is someone who has received Jedi training from any version of the Jedi Order and then has fallen to the dark side for a variety of reasons. They have not then left for the other Force tradition, like they have not become a Sith Lord or an Inquisitor. No, I would not say any of the Inquisitors are Dark Jedi, because they have then, they're under the auspices as basically, you know, lesser Sith servants, and they follow the whole, you know, power is the only way forward. Whereas Dark Jedi, in many different ways, the only Force tradition that they know is that they were taught in the Jedi Temple. They have rejected it, and they have fallen to the dark side, but they are still operating with many of the same traditions, beliefs, and powers, even as they delve into the dark side. There's a wide range of Dark Jedi, from just sort of the have drifted away and then fallen into their own version of what they believe is the way to survive in the world. We see that with Baylan Skoll, his apprentice Shin Hadi, and even someone, and significant spoilers here, for Jedi Survivor, for anyone who has not played that game, but we have two characters in that game that I would say are Dark Jedi that I'll touch on later, that were raised in the Jedi Order. All that said, that would be my definition, Connor, of what a Dark Jedi is. And I will list off all the people I think appear in canon media that are Dark Jedi shortly, but I wanted to see if you agreed with that definition.
I think I definitely agree. The sticking point I have is the delineation between Dark Jedi and Sith. And I think it would be pretty clear where if, say, a student of the Jedi Order or a Jedi themselves leave the Order and then start to practice under a Sith Lord like an Anakin Skywalker, he would be considered a Sith. He is studying the ways of the Sith. Someone who has not made that jump, who still vilifies the Sith, sees them as the true enemy, that would be more of your dark Jedi, where they still have that edge, separating them between the ultimate dark side and the Jedi Order, which is kind of why Shin and Baylan have orange lightsabers and not full red.
Well, and I would say you could be just as evil as a Sith as a dark Jedi, but you just don't ascribe to the Sith code of, there is no peace, there is passion. Peace is a lie, there is only passion, and the whole rest of the Sith code. That is a very specific way of looking at the Force. They practice the rule of two, the way in which the apprentice kills the master and so on. It is very much a specific tradition, one that Baylan Skoll is aware of, and even sends his apprentice away before she is tempted to kill him when their goals no longer align. But for a dark Jedi, this can be someone as variable as Barriss Offee, who decides that the extremist action of doing a false flag terrorist attack is better than allowing a war to continue unchecked. And though she has fallen to the dark side, is fighting for a version of her ideals. We have. Should I just go into my list of who I consider to be dark Jedi, and you can agree or disagree with me?
Yeah, because I was just speaking of Clone Wars, I was going to ask, you have someone like Barriss and you have someone like Pong Krell, who's also becoming more violent, more aggressive, outright murdering clones. Do these two have potential to become Sith if they were not stopped? Or do you think they would have remained Dark Jedi?
So Pong Krell had aspirations to become a Sith. He was a dark Jedi and then he died. So I would say that he did want to find Count Dooku and become his apprentice, which was certainly, aspirations to be a Sith. So Pong Krell's not doing himself any favors on that side. But for those who I would consider to be on this with dark Jedi label, Dooku himself was a dark Jedi when he originally became Count of Sereno and gave into the dark side, summoning great beasts using force lightning on his brother's forces. So then Palpatine, of course, brought him over as his apprentice. But before that happened, Dooku himself was actually a dark Jedi for quite a while. He left the Jedi Order, continued his studying the dark side of the Force, and so on.
And
Though
it
no one
wasn't
knew
until
his
meeting
name.
with Palpatine that he became Darth Tyrannus, Master of the
Correct.
Sith.
Yes. We have, I would say, Barriss Offee, Dark Jedi, still believed in the ideals of the Jedi Order, but decided extreme actions were necessary to uphold it on the macro scale. We have Pong Krell, who fell to the dark side even while being a member of the Army of the Republic. And for a time, he was likely just doing what he thought was right, but then the dark side became corrosive, and he just started slaughtering and leading to the deaths of more and more of his men. Until eventually, by fully falling to the dark side, he wanted to defect to the separatist cause and become the apprentice of Count Dooku. Going into that's in that's who I see in the Clone Wars. Asajj Ventress, you could make the argument that she is a dark Jedi because she was trained by a Jedi master, is one of the many masters that she had in her life. But if she was never raised on the temple, I'll say, we could apply the somewhat dark Jedi label to her, but I mean she's a Night Sister first, and that's how she identifies. And then she identified more as a Sith, viewing the sort of Jedi area as an interregnum between the two. So because of how she herself goes, we'll say she received Jedi training but was never a dark Jedi herself. See, Anakin is not a dark Jedi, because he immediately became Darth Vader the moment after he fell.
And one thing about Asajj Ventress is that I would say that she was taught by Jedi. She was taught by Sith. She never became a Sith. She was never granted the title Darth. And I think the only title she was given was Acolyte.
Sith assassin. Well, because all the Sith apprentices try to get all around the rule of two. She was an inquisitor before the inquisitors existed, and as soon as Palpatine considered that she was getting too strong, he ordered Dooku to kill her.
So if she's not a part of anything, she's almost a part of this nebulous third class, almost of a Ronin, where you're not following any school. She's not following the Jedi, she's not following the Sith, but she is a powerful force user.
Dark side adept, Night Sister, former Jedi, Sith assassin, bounty hunter. So she is her own unique thing.
Swiss Army knife.
None of which does her any good,
No.
really. None of which is good for her mental health. We have Jedi Knight Farron Barr, who quite obviously falls to the dark side as he ends up on Mon Cala and starts just pretty much openly mentally dominating and force tricking people into following him, including manipulating the people of Mon Cala into going to war. He's had prophetic visions that Mon Cala will be very important to the rebellion, and so he comes about and brings about a war to force them into conflict with the Empire to bring that future to come to pass sooner. So yeah, we have Farron Barr, I would say, as a dark Jedi, and that he was still opposing the Empire, but doing very dark, devious, things to get there. Jedi did not mentally dominate people to cause them to murder other people to then bring about war. And Darth Vader even calls that out to him somewhat, not even, Vader didn't really have a lot of respect for anybody. So not in a, admired his cunning, but was like, you abandoned even the Jedi code to get here. And of course, Anakin Skywalker slash Darth Vader has a very complicated view of the Jedi code. So that's Farron Barr. I'm going through who else I think might be a dark Jedi. We'll get to Baylan Skoll and Shin Hadi in a moment. We'll talk about them. So we have Baylan Skoll and Shin Hadi that appear in the Ahsoka show. Baylan Skoll was General Baylan Skoll during the Clone Wars, so a younger Jedi Knight who survived the Order and eventually drifted away. And as we hear that he talks with Ahsoka, he admired the idea of the Jedi, but not their actuality. And as Connor and I have talked about many times, the Jedi Council and the Jedi Order itself, by the time of Order 66, had grown rather stagnant, manipulated, inflexible. We see this even starting during the High Republic period, where their older flexibility and openness to change when stressed by war and conflict and the growing power of the Republic adapts to its needs in perhaps ways that are less than ideal for the overall health of the Order. But Baylan still admires the deliberate use of the Force. He takes on an apprentice who wears the Padawan braid. He has a thoughtful use of the Force and considers his communion and relationship with the Force to be more of a partnership than him dominating the Force, while still killing and using the Force as a tool to dominate, manipulate those around him. So he's trying to strike this balance, and whether he succeeds or not is up to the individual viewer.
And we don't quite know what his goal is. It seems like he's trying to get to the origins of the Jedi, or try to find something intertwined with the spirit beings that represent the Force. Your father, the son, and the daughter. These visages are very apparent on Peridia in this other galaxy. So, again, it's leading to the point where he's not searching for power necessarily, but he's either trying to find truth, or he's trying to find something historical, something not just for the sake of pure individual power, but it's like he's trying to restore the Jedi Order in some way.
And in his own vision, where he sees it as weak and it needs to be remade in his own image, which is not unlike some of Anakin's original rhetoric before he became a Sith. So that's Baylan. And Shin, I would say, while being raised as Baylan's apprentice, is not a dark Jedi herself. While Baylan mocks the idea of this Bakken Jedi, that's really what his apprentice is. Despite him having raised her as a Padawan, she was not raised in the Jedi Order. She has only known the version of it that Baylan has talked about. So she is the apprentice of a dark side Force user or a dark Jedi, but she herself, I would say, is not a dark Jedi. She is the apprentice of one. Perhaps she could have if they had established their own order, but by that point, it would have been something else. There's
And
two.
to pause a moment on the Bakken Jedi, just that idea of sort of a Jedi of the wild, a Jedi who was trained when the Order had fallen and didn't receive a real training. So we have Ezra Bridger, who did not learn from a full Jedi Knight. We have Luke Skywalker, who was trained for a span of a couple weeks by Obi-Wan Kenobi and Yoda, so he received very abridged training, not under the Jedi school. Sabine Wren, Bakken Jedi. Just the Bakken refers to a wooden training sword. So it's like these are Jedi without edge. These are not authentic honed Jedi. Which could
Could
be
we
partially
see?
why Luke's order fell as well, because he's not, he's trying to rekindle Jedi order, but he is not authentically of the Jedi order.
Well, Luke deliberately went out and sought out Holocron's teachings and tried to mimic as closely as possible the teachings of the previous Jedi Order,
Oh yeah,
which
he
did
did
not
the
work out
best he
so great
could.
for him. So, which is why we're hoping when Rey establishes her new Jedi Order, she will learn some of the lessons of the past, as Yoda told Luke that they needed to do. But to go back to our Dark Jedi, that takes us to Baylan Skoll, and we do see some other Dark Jedi present in other areas. On the video game side, we see three Dark Jedi that, or who you could argue are Dark Jedi, appear in both Fallen Order and Jedi Survivor. Fallen Order gives us Taran Malakos, who is a Jedi who crash landed on Dathomir after barely surviving Order 66, had no way of leaving, and then almost immediately, preceding that was the genocide of the Night Sisters at the hands of General Grievous. So it's a dead, dying planet with only a few Night Brothers and one surviving Night Sister, Meryn, there. So Taran Malakos, being a Jedi Knight, manipulates the child Meryn into teaching him Dathomir magics until she realizes it's a bad idea, and he remains trapped on Dathomir. But also, even if he did have the opportunity to leave, is too enamored with the power of the dark side of the heart of Dathomir to leave. So he's a fallen Jedi who wants more power and eventually comes into conflict with Meryn and Cal Kestis. So he is one of the more deranged examples of a dark Jedi. But even so, when he's in his guise of the Wanderer, he's reasonable, affable. He understands the Jedi teachings that Cal has. He's just deliberately rejecting them in a search for power. He reminds me of a more unhinged version of Baylan Skoll, who, had to survive by himself alone on a planet. So has lost a lot of the trappings, but you still see the vestiges of the Jedi he once was, even if the dark side has stripped the rest away.
So if he's a more unhinged example, do we get a more calm and collected example of a dark Jedi in the Jedi Survivor series?
We do. And if anyone has not played Jedi Survivor, stop listening now. This is the last of our Dark Jedi for this episode, likely, by the way. We have Cal Kestis himself struggles with potentially falling to the dark side in Jedi Survivor, into the fact he then picks up the ability to call on the dark side is one of his special powers halfway through Jedi Survivor. And it is depicted as both extraordinarily powerful and also very bad for Cal Kestis' mental health. And then it turns out that another of the characters in the game has been a secret former Order 66 survivor and Dark Jedi the whole game, and much more so than Cal has fallen to the dark side and is fully willing to use his force powers to lie, cheat, steal, and do anything else, all in service of trying to keep his daughter safe.
So
So
very selfish, very kind of, or not exactly selfish. I mean, he's thinking of his daughter, but his daughter is a direct, connection and sort of like response to his own needs.
yeah, and we see the way in which that attachment is what led him to the dark side, in the way the Jedi were supposed to care about. Not that someone was falling in love. It is, in fact, Cal Kestis falling in love with Meryn, the Night Sister, that lets him stave off falling to the dark side as much as he does, relying on her to help him. But where Bode then is just has his daughter and his wife, and when his wife is murdered and his daughter is kept in danger, it just pushes him further and further into the dark side, to the point where he even endangers his own daughter trying to defeat his enemies, forgetting his original purpose before he is killed. So yeah, dark, you definitely see the effects of the Dark Jedi and how being constantly on the run and under pressure, it's very hard outside of the Jedi Order to survive.
That temptation is too strong when, these are the literal dark times, and as we see in Andor, the universe becomes a much more desperate place after the fall of the Jedi. So the remnants are, as equally in a desperate situation.
Yeah, and Cal strikes me as maybe what we get closest to, where he is at the end of Jedi Survivor, is the closest we might get to a what I would be comfortable calling a gray Jedi, and that he His ideals still align with the Jedi Order. He wants to protect people, save people. He is still utterly committed to those goals. He has not, but whenever he is threatened and has so overpowered that he has almost fallen to the dark side several times, and in fact calls upon the dark side in need. But we see this is also pushing him to take actions that might start to violate those principles that he has. But he still calls himself a Jedi, and he still risks his life to save others at every turn. So it's a strange place he finds himself in, but it's not portrayed as like, oh, he's striving to be a great Jedi and it's super cool that he can do all this. It's like, no, this is messy and problematic. This is traumatic and horrifying. You do not want a Force user or Jedi to be in this situation because the center cannot hold in this way. At one point or another, Cal is going to either have to emerge out the other side as a Jedi tested by darkness and rejecting it, or he is going to fall and fall hard. He
My
cannot, he is
oh, go
balanced on
ahead.
the razor's edge and he cannot stay there forever.
So much like Luke's arc from the end of Empire to Return of the Jedi, it makes sense that he'd be on this thin path between the light and dark sides. But my final thoughts to mirror would say that the only person now who would fit the bill for a gray Jedi in my eyes would be Ahsoka. Because she is definitely not in the Jedi Order. Once she walks away, she's gone. She reminds you at every turn that she is not a Jedi. But she, if it looks like a duck and walks like a duck, it's a Jedi. Has all the trappings of a Jedi, has an apprentice. But I would differentiate it in that Jedi are very active in their role. They are active peacekeepers. Ahsoka seems very detached. That seems to be like she all throughout the original trilogy was researching, studying the dark side.
Yeah. So I would think disagree with calling Ahsoka a gray Jedi. I think she's not part of the Jedi Order, but I mean, as you said, it walks like a duck, it talks like a duck. Ahsoka is a Jedi. She's not part of the Jedi Order. In the time of the High Republic, they would have called Ahsoka a Wayseeker. In that she's someone who has left the strictures of a particular order, but is still pursuing all of the same aims and goals of a Jedi. And I think her being super detached in the Ahsoka series, we see that as being a defense mechanism after having lost so much during the Clone Wars and then the rise of the Empire. It's something she has to overcome. She has to accept a Sabine can be her apprentice to open herself up that way to that vulnerability. So I think that's a character development part, but I wouldn't say that she is a gray Jedi. She does not flirt at all ever with the dark side that we see. And this, not even in the same way that Ezra Bridger does. And Ezra, we would certainly not call a gray Jedi. Bakka Jedi, yes. But Ezra is, at this point, he has done what Cal will potentially do. He was tested by the dark side and has emerged as a full Jedi. Whether Cal will do that at the same time or not. Ahsoka could never even shows any predilection to potentially falling to the dark side. Leaving the Jedi Order, yes. But she is strong enough that she is never even tempted. She never wants to see the Sith Dreadnought for herself. She never gives in to any of Maul's insinuations that she should fall to the dark side. So that is my assessment of Ahsoka. I would not call her a gray or a dark Jedi by any means.
I
But I
actually
am
see
you're
that
happy to have a
point.
different you're happy to have a different viewpoint than me, Connor.
I'd concede, and I'd say, especially because she's never been really tempted or tested by the dark side. Thrawn calls her a Ronin, which in our real world is a samurai without a master. And I wouldn't say that's accurate for Ahsoka, because if you're in the Jedi Order, any Jedi who is superior to you, you refer to as Master. Master Windu, Master Yoda. These are places of respect and power that you need to just venerate. Ahsoka does not have that. She is not going to look to Yoda as a master after walking away from the Order. She's not going to look to Mace Windu as a master. She is a Jedi working independently. So, not of the Order. Still very much on the light side, still very much a Ronin. And I don't know, I don't think anyone else would really fit that other than possibly Asajj Ventress, because she's acting without a master. She's acting in a darker path, in a possibly grayer path, but
Yeah,
also in the same way, working without that anyone else's command.
Asajj refuses to reject the dark side, though, so I don't think she gets to qualify as just a Ronin Jedi. She's not really a Jedi at all.
And that's why I thought Ronin could be a neutral term. It could be light side, dark side. It's a matter of individual from there.
Yeah.
Like a
I mean,
Ronin Force
for
user.
light side for Ahsoka, I mean, I think I would put Ronin as just that's a Wayseeker, but the Order doesn't exist anymore. So she is just a Jedi with no master because there's one game in town and she's not about to fall under the another control of another Skywalker. So
Well, it is a fair way to sort of wrap up the conversation in that this is kind of a sequel to the conversations that we had on the different just Force user types and the Force users who weren't Jedi or Sith. It's
yeah.
a notion that's always evolving, and I feel like when we get Ahsoka, that will continue to. When we get Acolyte, and when some more of the High Republic concepts become more popularized in pop culture, that will also play a part in shaping what it means to be a Jedi, what it means to be a dark side wielder. So it's an interesting conversation, and I'm guessing we'll probably have another episode based on whatever developments come next.
Yeah, and to briefly touch on the High Republic side, we do see Jedi in the High Republic era struggle with the dark side as well. There's a whole series of different oaths and healing methods that those Jedi can go towards. We see Jedi Master Elzar Mann give in to the dark side and kill hundreds of people with the Force and go on a retreat. They were enemies, and so it was like he committed an atrocity, but it was certainly not kosher for a Jedi to throw a mountain at an army using the dark side. And then we see Jedi Master Skeer, who is a Trandoshan, start to fall to the dark side after being infested by the Drengir and like literally hack someone to pieces with his lightsaber, and then before his lightsaber is confiscated by another Jedi Master. But he has
Give
his
me your badge and
impending,
your lightsaber.
pretty much, yeah. He was even done by the Marshal. So the Marshal's like, Skeer, I need your lightsaber. You're a rogue, you're a loose cannon. So we do see High Republic Jedi also struggle with this, but I wouldn't say any of them have truly become dark Jedi because there are, at that point, flexible processes in place to allow release valves and processes to heal and come back from those kinds of temptations. Perfection is not expected. By the time the Clone Wars happen around, Jedi start to, like, Elzar Mann, who brushes with the dark side, is able to go to his best friend and leader of the Jedi Council and say, I fucked up, man. I need your help. And he's like, okay, we're gonna send you as a treat. You're gonna be fine. You're gonna find forgiveness. Whereas Pong Krell and Barriss Offee in a time of war during the Clone Wars do not feel that they can be that open. Not even Anakin won't be open with Yoda for fear of being kicked out of the Order. So this miasma of fear and rigidity that has come over the Jedi Order in the interim has prevented what could have just been people who had crisis of faith and then returned to the Jedi instead fall to the dark side.
It'll be interesting. I hope we get to see that reflected in the Acolyte TV show that's coming up, because it's such a different way of treating just potential falls to the dark side or flirtations with the dark side, where by the time we get to the Phantom Menace, the Jedi are so much more dogmatic than fearful of the Sith that if there's any signs pointing towards a Jedi's turn, it gets pretty disastrous pretty quick.
Agreed. All right, so that is our exploration of the concept of the Dark Jedi and who we would have labeled as Dark Jedi from the currently available media, both visual, written, and otherwise. If you have any characters that you would say we should have put on our Dark Jedi list, please do let us know. We're happy to do so. Either on our podcast or on our Reddit, reddit.com/r/talkingstarwars.
We'll see you sometime soon in a galaxy right here.